MMA Meltdown on the Fight Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. Let's send it to Costa Rica, where we're joined by the premier combat sport odds maker in the business, Joey Odessa. Joey, it's always a pleasure, my man. How you doing?
Hey, what's happening tonight, Jason?
Hey, we're fired up, Joey. It's a great night of fights from Japan the other night. And you know, we got a stacked card. I know that that term's tossed around pretty loosely by the MMA media and by the UFC. Oh, it's a stacked card. It's a stacked card. So maybe I should find another word than stacked card, but we got a great card. Yeah, this is some great fights from top to bottom here, Joey. Some really evenly matched fighters. A lot of fighters at crossroads in their career. A lot of fighters with something to prove. Fighters coming back after years layoff. A lot of interesting storylines this week.
Yeah, I would say so. You know, coming off of last week, too, I mean, every week now, you don't need big names to make big fights. And a lot of these people here, you know, there's good matchups.
You know, that's a good point that you raised because, you know, Maximo Blanco and, who was it, Daniel Hooker, that was one of the best fights of the year. That Hooker dude, I can't believe that he didn't get a bonus after the end of the night. Like, I tweeted out, I said, you know, give that Hooker some cash. And, you know, really, it's not the first time a hooker's been ripped off, but, you know, really, I mean, if the UFC's always talking about, we want guys going to compete, we want guys going to come in here, you don't have to give everyone 50K. I don't know, maybe behind the scenes, they gave him 5, 10K, hey, here you go, good job, kid, but that stuff really doesn't happen. I know people pretend that happens, but I'm talking to a lot of fighters, and they've told me, you know, Dana's never come up to them and given them anything secretly after the fact. But anyways, let's not rear view mirror this, Joey, because there's a ton of action I want to get to. We got Mighty Mouse Johnson fighting again. The guy's been awesome. He's been dispatching of everybody. You know, he's just this, you know, ball of energy, impossible to get your mitt on. But people sort of seem bored with him. I want to see him fight Dodson. And obviously, the odds makers aren't giving Carriasso much of a chance. I'm seeing Mighty Mouse as high as 16-1.
Yeah, it's about where, I mean, you're almost, you can't lay the favorite there. I mean, despite him, you know, being an obvious favorite, you know, anything could happen in these fights, but it's, you know, it's unlikely. I mean, it's not even worth putting in any kind of a parlay, I would say, at those odds.
Is Carriasso worth a play? I don't like live dogs that won't win, like you say, but anything can happen. It's not like Carriasso's terrible. He's not a bum. He's not on Mighty Mouse's level, but it's a fight. Anything can happen. At those incredibly large odds, you know, the underdog's got to be worth a look.
I mean, he's won 3 in a row, but he hasn't been, you know, he hasn't been overly impressive, and they needed somebody to fill in there. I tell you, I mean, he's worth a look, but again, live dog that won't win. I would say, you know, I'm not expecting him to win. I mean, Johnson's last loss was to who? Well, he had to draw with Ian McCall, but Dominic Cruz, who's also on the card, and you got to go back, you know, 3 years for that.
Ironically enough, that was Dominic Cruz's last fight. You know, crazily enough, and we'll get to that in a moment. So let's talk about, you know, you can argue which fight everybody's talking about. Maybe the mainstream are talking about Conor McGregor and Poirier more, specifically because of Conor McGregor, but I think MMA, real MMA fans are really looking forward to Eddie Alvarez and Cowboy Cerrone here, Joey. Lines makers, you guys have basically put this as a pick'em. I think you can make arguments for both fighters. Has Cerrone faced better competition, you know, recently? Probably. But you know Eddie Alvarez, you know, we know he's gonna lay everything out there. I think he lost that fight to Chandler, the second one. They were both epic fights. I actually thought Chandler won the second one as well. Not to take anything away from Alvarez, but I think Alvarez, I like Alvarez in this fight, and I don't like going against Cowboy, but I like Alvarez in this fight. Yeah, he's got something to prove. He wants to show the world that, you know, he was UFC worthy all these years. So I don't think we have the UFC jitters with someone like Eddie Alvarez. It's been in so many big fights throughout his life as well.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to experience the jitters. I mean, he won on paper the fight against Chandler his last time out. I tell you, I would like Chandler over Cerrone more than I'd like Alvarez over Cerrone. Only because I think Alvarez gets a little, you know, sometimes he gets a little reckless. I've never been a big Eddie Alvarez fan, personally. It's cost me some money. That's probably why, you know, I bet against him a bunch of times. I did bet against him back all the way back. Jeez, and one of his only losses was against Aoki, and that was all the way back in 2008. So, I mean, he's not used to losing. Donald's fighting for, you know, Donald fights the fight. He says he doesn't care about titles and things like that, coming off that win against Miller. I got to lean to Alvarez here.
You know, despite, you know, it sounded like everything you just said, you were going to say you got to lead to Cerrone. I love how you hold a grudge that he cost you in 2008 still.
Yeah, I mean, you remember things like that. But then again, he's only got, what, on his record, he's only got three losses, and one of them was to Chandler, so it's not hard to forget about it.
That's how I feel about Nelson. He screwed me for the last time. And he doesn't even lose that much, but I was honored against Verdum. I was honored against Stipe. I was honored against Hunt. I'm just done with him. I'm just done with him. And to be honest, I was on Chandler both fights against Alvarez. But, man, he's a hell of a fighter. So, you know, push comes to shove, you're leaning Alvarez. Let's get into Conor McGregor. McGregor's talked a lot. He's kind of annoying. But he's backed it up. And two first-round stoppages in three UFC fights. You know, Brandao isn't a household name, but he's a tough guy. Max Holloway was kind of in over his head, a young kid right there. Poirier's definitely faced tougher competition. I like Poirier at plus 200 here. Conor McGregor is good, but he says this isn't a step up in class. He calls Poirier a journeyman. I don't think Poirier is just a journeyman. I think Poirier is the real deal. And Poirier doesn't get respected by the public. I would say the odds makers, but the public sort of dictate what the odds are going to be. You know, Poirier was an underdog to Eric Koch, and he went into Milwaukee and he kicked the crap out of Eric Koch.
And Poirier's never been knocked out either. I mean, the thing that's so appealing about Conor is the exact opposite of Demetrius Johnson. I mean, despite, you know, there's a 20-pound weight difference, but you notice with the smaller guys, you don't see those big finishes. I mean, Conor's knocked out 13 fighters that he's fought. But, you know, he's also lost twice. Now, granted, it goes back, you know, 3-4 years, actually like 4 years, maybe 5 years. he's 15-2, but both his losses come by a submission. And, you know, not to do, you know, sit here and do talk stats, but Poirier at 16-3, never been knocked out, been subbed once. I don't see Conor subbing him. You know, maybe a decision. It's going to be an interesting fight. I tell you, there's no choice. I mean, Poirier's the side for me. I think that McGregor's, you know, he's not living a high life, but I mean, he is transplanted over here from Ireland, and he's out in Las Vegas now, and he's flying around everywhere, and that takes its toll on you, the media and all this stuff, and they say it doesn't affect him, but I believe it does, and I think that could be the difference in the fight, unless he knocks him out. I think he's going to have to knock him out to beat him.
You know, the one thing with Conor McGregor is, you're right, normally with fighters, this would be a big distraction, but I don't think with him it is a distraction, because he's been dealing with this since his first UFC fight. It seems like, you know, Conor McGregor's been in our lives forever, but he's only got three UFC fights. And, you know, they've been marketing the hell out of him in each and every single one of these fights, Joey. So I think he's sort of used to it. As far as living a high life, I'm hearing out of Vegas that, yeah, he's got a ton of buddies there. Not just like his camp, but friends there. And they're getting wasted and, you know, they're living a high life. In the Vegas suites, they're talking. You know, Conor was talking about what great suites the UFC put him up in, and you know, Poirier's coming to fight here, man. Poirier's coming to fight. Poirier was a guy that people were talking about being a championship type of guy. You know, Cub Swanson, there's no shame in losing to Swanson. Cub Swanson would beat Conor McGregor, in my opinion. And you know, he got subbed by the Korean Zombie, and that's when people sort of gave up on Poirier. I'm not giving up on the Diamond yet. I think this kid's tough as nails. Louisiana tough. I'm going to take a shot with the underdog.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's probably money well spent. Well, no, in hindsight, I mean, McGregor, he's going to have to hurt him. I mean, Poirier's no bum. I mean, I'd prefer that the fight was five rounds, but we're not going to see that. Be only three rounds. I'd like to see McGregor get taken real deep. I mean, Max went three with him, you know, and he chased him around a good bit. You know, Brimage got knocked out. Who can pass Poirier a little bit, and I think this is a good test for him.
I think he is.
You know, he's also talking about moving up, you know, winning titles at different weight classes. I mean, a lot of guys do that, you know, but maybe, you know, after this fight, we'll be calling him away. I don't want to, but we're saying, you know, people will pay to see him win, they're paid to see him lose. Because he is, you know, he's like in the spotlight right now.
All right, Joey. So we've got about 45 seconds, not 45 minutes, 45 seconds. Dominic Cruz coming back, long layoff, and Kat Zingano coming back. Kat Zingano, hard not to pull for this girl. The personal tragedy, the death of her husband, her injuries, the fact that she didn't get the title shot. She would have been on The Ultimate Fighter. I'm pulling for Kat Zingano here. But with Cruz and Zingano coming back after these layoffs, in 15 seconds, Joey, are the numbers too high or are they fair prices?
I think that they're both the right favorites. I just think that they're overpriced. You know, lightning can strike in either one of these fights. I mean, long layoff with Kat, plus the personal tragedy, plus, you know, Miesha Tate didn't look all that impressive this past weekend. So you might want to take a little away from that win. And then, you know, Cruz, I mean, who knows what to expect there. He hasn't fought in forever. And I'm surprised they didn't have that on the Japanese card.
Joey Odessa with us. Would have been better if you would have ended right after lightning strikes, but it's all good nevertheless. Great stuff, Odessa. Thanks for joining us.
All right, have a good one, Jake.
There's Joey Odessa with us. All right, we'll come back and wrap things up on MMA Meltdown of the Fight Network.